الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise is due to Allah abundantly as He deserves it, and we ask Allah to send the peace and the blessings upon and exalt the mention of Prophet Muhammad, his companions, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. We are still in the process of attempting to translate the tafsir of Sheikh Sa'di rahimahullah, his famous book of tafsir, Tafsir al-Karim al-Rahman fi Tafsir Kalam al-Mannan. By the grace of Allah, we have managed to complete Surah Al-Kahf, Surah Al-Fatiha, and we are currently at verse number 35 from Surah Al-Baqarah, which reads, I say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Allah جل وعلا says, وقلنا يا آدم اسكن أنت وزوجك الجنة وكلا منها رغدا حيث شئتما ولا تقربا هذه الشجرة فتكونا من الظالمين فأزلهما الشيطان عنها فأخرجهما مما كانا فيه وقلنا اهبطوا بعضكم لبعض عدو ولكم في الأرض مستقر ومتاع إلى حين. Someone kindly read verses 35 and 36 in English in a loud, audible voice. Yes, brothers.
Amen.
Either no one or everyone. Yes, Shadam.
And we said, O Adam, where you and your wife in paradise and eat both of you freely with pleasure and delight, or things therein as soever you will, but come not near this tree, or you both will be of the Zalimun.
Zalimun, oppressors, wrongdoers.
Then the Shaitan made him sleep therefrom and left him out of them that in which they were. We said, Get you down all with enmity between yourselves, on earth will be a dwelling place for you and an enjoyment for a time.
Jazakallah khair. The Shaykh rahimahullah said, لما خلق الله آدم وفضله وأتم نعمته عليه بأن خلق منه زوجة ليسكن إليها ويستأنس بها وأمرهما بسكن الجنة أو بسكن الجنة والأكل منها رغدا أي واسعا هنيئا حيث شئتما أي من أي أصناف الثمار والفواكه وقال الله له إن لك ألا تجوع فيها ولا تعرى وأنك لا تظمأ فيها ولا تضحى. The Shaykh رحمه الله said, when Allah Azza wa Jal created Adam and He honored him and He completed His favor upon him, that He created for him a wife from Himself. As you know, Eve was created from the rib of Adam. Eve was created from the rib of Adam. So she is considered to be almost with a father without a mother. And the other form of creation is the one that has a mother and doesn't have a father, like Jesus. And the third one is the one that has a mother and father like all of us. And there's one that doesn't have a mother or father, Adam. These are the four different forms of creation. Either no parents, or one parent, or both parents. Okay, so basically, which indicates that doesn't make Jesus a God or any more special just because of the mere fact that He came without a father. Because if you want to use this as the criteria for divinity, then we will have to make Eve a God and Adam a greater God than both Eve and Jesus. Because Adam, Allah created him with His hands. There's no mama, no baba. But no one said Adam is salvation, Adam is God, worship Adam, Adam is the son of God. A'udhu billah. Alhamdulillah that made us Muslims. So He created for him His wife, so he may find repose in her and feel comfortable with her. And Allah commanded them that they shall inhabit the Jannah, the garden, the paradise. And they eat whatever they want, plenty to the full up till they are pleased. And from all kinds of fruits and vegetation, whatever they desire. And Allah Azza wa Jal told Adam in another surah, in Surah Taha, I believe it's Surah Taha, verily Allah spoke to Adam, told him, you shall not feel hungry therein, nor will you be undressed of your clothes. Okay, this is what Allah promised him, that if he did not eat from the tree, and that you will not be thirsty and what have you. But of course, when Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, when he disobeyed Allah and he ate from the tree, all that changed. Their clothes, the ones that they were, he and Eve were wearing, they became undressed, and they started grabbing from the leaves of Jannah, covering their private parts. Okay, because they were embarrassed. It wasn't something that they were used to walk. They were not walking around naked. Okay, and then, you know, wa'alaikum salam wa rahmatullah ahlan. They did not have to worry about eating and drinking, because Allah had promised them that it will be provided. But once they were sent down to the earth, Adam had to search for food, and Adam had to search for drink. There was thirst, there was hunger, until food was found. So things changed. Things changed dramatically. We will see how this particular story develops as we continue to do this tafsir, inshallah, whether in this surah or in the other chapters. We are, for those who came late, verse number 35 and 36 in Surah Al-Baqarah. طيب. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ نَوْعٌ مِّنْ أَنْوَاعِ شَجَرِ الْجَنَّةِ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِهَا وَإِنَّمَا نَهَاهُمَا عَنْهَا امْتِحَانًا وَابْتِلَاءً أَوْ لِحِكْمَةٍ غَيْرُ مَعْلُومَةٍ أَوْ لِحِكْمَةٍ غَيْرُ مَعْلُومَةٍ لَنَا. طيب. Allah says, do not approach this one tree. The Shaykh said, it is a tree from the trees of Jannah. Okay, of course, in the Christian context, they say it was an apple tree, I believe. Right, they ate from the apple and what have you, and a snake came. If you remember the Jungle Boy or whatever, they kind of gave you this kind of feeling. Islamically, the kind of tree was not mentioned. See, so we don't know it's an apple tree, orange tree, Allahu alam what kind of tree. And there's no significance in knowing that anyways. Well, what does it matter what kind of tree it is? What matters is that they were prohibited from approaching it and eating from it, and they did that. Okay, so whatever the tree was, we don't know. And the Shaykh said, Allah knows about what kind of tree it is, and Allah forbade them from eating it, perhaps as a test and trial. He said, or maybe for a wisdom that we don't know. For a wisdom that we don't know. The bottom line is that Allah prohibited them from eating from the fruits of that particular tree. If you do so, you will be among the wrongdoers. This indicates that the prohibition here was the negation of doing that was that of prohibition. Because there are things in Islam that you are asked not to do, but it's only disliked. Okay? There are things that you're not supposed to do, but they are only disliked. They are not prohibited. Meaning, if you do them, you will not be sinful. They are disliked. So if you do them, they will not be sinful. But if you leave them alone because they are disliked, you will be rewarded. Okay, this is in when you go fiqh, because it's one of five things. Either prohibited or disliked. Compulsory or recommended. Or halal, mubah, permissible. Each ruling in Islam is in one of these five. Some things are haram, you cannot do. If you do them, you are sinful. Some things are disliked. If you do them, you're not sinful, but if you leave them alone, you'll be rewarded for leaving them alone, because they're preferred to stay away from. Some things are compulsory, meaning you will be sinful if you leave them alone. Some things are recommended, which means you will be rewarded if you do them, but if you don't do them, you will not be sinful, because they're only recommended. You see? And some things are mubah, they just whatever, they're from the things of the dunya. You know, you eat any kind of fruit that is not prohibited, any kind of meat that is not prohibited, it's whatever you want. Okay? These are the five nature of rulings in Islam regarding everything. So here the Shaykh is indicating that the fact when Allah told them, don't approach this don't approach this tree, it could be one of two things. It's either dislike, it's yani preferred, you are, it's preferred that you don't approach it, or it could be that of prohibition. Okay? You following me? Okay. The fact that Allah says, do not approach this tree, if you do so, you'll be among the wrongdoers, indicates that it is haram to touch this tree. Otherwise, you would not be considered to be among the wrongdoers unless you were violating a prohibition. You see? This is the deen, man. This is valuable stuff. Of course, we will not know that until we study. Because Allah made أَنَّهُ رَتَّبَ عَلَيْهِ الظُّلْمِ, because Allah made oppression the consequence of this violation. And whenever in Islam something, yani whenever the result of your action is a severe warning, this indicates that it is prohibited to do it. There are things that are disliked, that are just merely disliked. It's preferred that you don't do it, but you may do it due to necessity, and if you do them, you're not considered sinful. طيب. فلم يزل عدوهما يوسوس لهما ويزين لهما تناول ما نهي عنه حتى أزلهما. He said, their enemy continued to whisper to them, Satan, Iblis, and adorn for them the concept of eating from this food that they were prohibited from eating from, until he made them slip, until they slipped and they obeyed him. أي حملها حملهما على الزلل بتزيينه. He tricked them. You know what he told them in another chapter in the Quran? وقاسمهما. He swore by Allah. Iblis, he swore by Allah. And he said, بالله وقسمه بالله إني لكما من الناصحين. He said, I swear by Allah, I am giving you, I am among those who want to give you a good advice. That's what Satan did. They say Adam alayhi salam, he was not accustomed, he did not believe someone would lie against Allah. Someone would swear, you know, swear by Allah lying. Here's Satan telling him, I swear by Allah, I am giving you sincere advice. The only reason why you were prohibited from eating this tree is so you will not become eternal. So eat from this tree so you will become eternal. See? That's what Satan did. Major trick. You know, he worked hard to make them stick. So they were seduced by him. They were tricked by him and they obeyed him. فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَ فِيهِ مِنَ النَّعِيمِ وَالرَّغْمِ. So that made them go out from what they were enjoying from bounty and goodness. وَأُهْبِطُوا إِلَىٰ دَارِ التَّعْبِ وَالنَّصَبِ وَالْمُجَاهَدَةِ. And they were sent down to the land of work and effort and struggle, the dunya that we are living now. So we're not living in Jannah, apparently. None of us is living in Jannah here. You have to go to work and this, and life is rough. Life is rough. But this was the result of that particular event. But alhamdulillah, it's for wisdom from Allah Azza wa Jal. بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ. You will be enemies to one another. But who? أي آدم وذريته أعداء لإبليس وذريته. Meaning Adam and his progeny will be enemies to Iblis, Satan and his progeny. This is what is intended by becoming enemies to one another. Not necessarily the children of Adam becoming enemies amongst each other. Okay, because you don't want enemy. You want everybody to be a believer and we want to help one another as human beings. But here what is intended, that Adam and his children will become enemies to Satan and his children, all the devils. Because Satan is the father of the devils. Iblis is the father of the devils. And Adam is the father of the humans. Will be enemies to one another. Okay? Allah Azza wa Jal decreed they'll be enemies to one another. وَمِنَ الْمَعْلُومِ أَنَّ الْعَدُوِ يَجِدْ وَيَشْتَهَدْ فِي ضَرَرِ عَدُوِهِ وَإِصَالِ الشَّرِّ إِلَيْهِ بِكُلِّ طَرِيقٍ. Now, it is known that the enemy, and a person's enemy, will exert himself and will strive to damage his enemy and to make him, to touch him with evil in every possible way. And you can tell, enemies, whenever people are fighting at war, they do anything to damage the enemy. You know, anything possible. This is the nature. And Allah called him enemy. So you should know that the Satan is doing everything possible to misguide us. Okay, and we should treat him as such. And prepare ourselves and defend ourselves. وَحِرْمَانُ الْخَيْرِ بِكُلِّ طَرِيقٍ. And the enemy also wants to deprive you from goodness in every way possible. فَفِي ضِمِّ هَذَا تَحْذِيرُ بَنِي آدَمْ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. This indicates that Allah is warning us from Satan, warning us from the devil. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. Allah says another occasion in the Quran, interpretation of the meaning in English, barely the shaitan, the devil is an enemy to you, so take him as an enemy. إِنَّمَا يَدْعُ حِزْبَهُ لِيَكُونُ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. Verily he calls his people, his group, to be among the inhabitants of the people of the fire. Among the inhabitants of the fire. And Allah says another occasion in Surah Al-Kahf, أَفَتَتَّقِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِي وَهُمْ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ بِئْسَ لِلظَّالِمِينَ بَدَلًا. Do you take him and his progeny, meaning the shaitan, Allah speaking to us, do you take him and his progeny as helpers besides Allah while they are enemies to you? What a terrible replacement for the wrongdoers. ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ مُنْتَهَى الْإِهْبَاطِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. Then Allah mentioned where they were descended to. They were descended to the earth. Al-Ard, the one that we are living on right now. Not Marikh, not Mars, not the moon, nowhere else. Okay, on earth, this earth. فقال وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرْ أَيْ مَسْكَرٌ وَقَرَارٌ. So you will have in this earth a place to inhabit and stability. وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَى حِينٍ. And you know, enjoyment till a given portion of time. انقضاءِ أَجَالِكُمْ, which is when your life will expire. ثُمَّ تَنْتَقِلُونَ مِنَا لِلدَّارِ الَّتِي خُلِقْتُمْ لَهَا. Then you will move from this one to the home, to the abode which you were created for. Okay? وَقُلِقَتْ لَكُمْ. And it was created for you, which is Jannah or Jahannam, وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. فَفِيهَا أَنَّ مُدَّةَ هَذِي الْحَيَاةِ مُؤَقَّتَ عَارِضًا. This indicates that the duration of this life is prescribed, and it is just, you know, it's prescribed. لَيْسَتْ مَسْكَنًا حَقِيقِيًا. And this earth is not the real abode. It's not the real place of living. Okay, you don't inhabit this earth like that. وإنما هي معبر يتزود منها لتلك الدار ولا تعمر للاستقراء. Rather, there is only a path that one of us will use to travel in order to prepare himself and accumulate good deeds for the hereafter, and not to make this place, you know, to build it in such a way where you are going to be here forever. And some people do that. They invest all of their time and all of their money and all of their effort and every single thing in their life. They invest everything in this dunya, here in this world. And if you look to see what kind of investment they have for the hereafter, none. Although the hereafter is the real abode, that's where you're really supposed to be investing. This one, you're not going to be here forever. So no matter what kind of investment you make, you're not taking it with you. So then the investment of the hereafter is where the real investment is supposed to be. You see? So Allah is teaching that in the teaching us that in the Quran. Salaam. فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ. Verse number 37 says, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمَ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. قُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. والذين كفروا بآياتنا أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. Someone kindly read verses 36, 37, 38, and 39 kindly.
Then Adam said from his Lord words, and his Lord pardoned him, accepted his repentance. Verily he is the one who forgave, accept repentance the most merciful. We said, get down or you from this place, the paradise. Then whenever there comes to you guidance from me, and whoever follows my guidance, there shall be no fear on him, nor shall he dream. But those who disbelieve and deny our I am, broke evidence, verses, reason, science, revelation, gates, such are the dwellers of the fire. He shall abide in forever.
Thank you. Jazakallah khair. فتلقى آدم أي تلقف وتلقى وألهمه الله من ربه كلمات. طيب آدم was taught through inspiration from Allah some words, and these words, the ones that were said by Adam, ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا ونرحمنا لنكونن من الظالمين. This comes in another verse in the Quran. Our Lord, we have oppressed ourselves, speaking about him and Eve, his wife, and if you do not forgive us and have mercy on us, we will be verily among the wrongdoers. أو لنكونن من الخاسرين. We will be among the losers. Okay. So after Adam sinned, okay, Allah inspired him to repent and to make this particular statement. These words were said by Adam. Our Lord, it's important to know this, we have oppressed ourselves, and unless you forgive us and show mercy to us, we will be among the losers. Fine. I have a question for you here before I continue. Oh, let me continue actually. Then I will ask you the question. Fine. So he confessed to his sin. فَاعْتَرَفَ بِذَنْبِهِ وَسَأَلَ اللَّهَ مَغْفِرَتِهِ. And he confessed to his sin and he asked Allah to forgive him. فَتَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. So Allah repented upon him. وَرَحِمَهُ. And Allah showed mercy to him. إِنَّ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ. It is Allah that the one who accepts the repentance, the one who does repent on his servants. لِمَنْ تَابَ عَلَيْهِ وَأَنَابَ. Those who repent to Allah. So you repent to Allah, then Allah accepts your repentance. And those who turn back to Allah. وَتَوْبَتُهُ نَوْعَانِ. The repentance of Allah is of two kinds. تَوْفِيقِهِ أَوَّلًا. To give you the success in order to repent to begin with. ثُمَّ قَبُولُهُ لِلْتَوْبَةِ إِذَا اجْتَمَعَ شُرُوطُهَا ثَانِيًا. Then accepting your repentance if the conditions are met. So when Allah is the Tawwab, there are two phases. Phase number one is that Allah gives you success to want to repent. Because maybe you would never want to repent. You continue to do the sin, say, I'm okay. So the fact that Allah makes you feel guilty, طيب, after you sin, and you feel guilty, and you start reprimanding yourself, and why did I do this again? طيب, this is already good. This is from Allah, that He's given you the success for you to desire repenting. Then the second part of repentance is that Allah will accept it from you. After you decide to repent and you say, oh Allah, I repent to you, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh, and you meet the conditions of tawbah, then Allah will accept. The conditions of tawbah are four or five, depending on the scholars. Number one is sincerity. You repent to Allah, not to the people. Meaning if you smoke cigarettes, and people continue to tell you, stop smoking, stop smoking, stop smoking, so you stop smoking because of the people, that is not considered repentance. It's considered repentance when you do it for the sake of Allah. You're stopping it because it's a sin and you want to please Allah. The second condition of repentance is regret. You must feel regret. You must feel guilty about what you have done. Okay? The third condition is that you leave that thing alone. If it's a prohibition you're violating, you stop. If it's a compulsory, if it's something that is obligatory that you have not been doing, you start doing. Fourthly, you have the intention never to go back to it again. There's no part-time repentance. Let me repent for 2 years and then after 2 years I'll become a thief again. It doesn't work. Your niyyah, your intention should be permanent repentance. You will never do this sin again. And fifthly, you must do it before your soul leaves your body, before your soul is at the, you know, at your throat, which is at the last moment of life, then you say you repent, it's too late now. Okay, that's obvious. And before the sun rises from where it sets, meaning when the day of judgment happens. These are the conditions of repentance. A sixth one, the scholars mentioned, This is if the sin is between you and Allah. If the sin involves people, like you've stolen money from this brother, then among the conditions of repentance is that you return the money to him. So let's say you steal 2,000 riyals, then you say, okay, I repent to Allah. And you keep the 2,000 riyals. No, that is not acceptable. For the repentance to be fulfilled, you must give this person the money back, and then you repent to Allah. Or this is part of the conditions of repentance. If it's going to damage your relationship with him, where he's going to say, you're the one who stole the money, man. You just put it in his pocket without him knowing. You put it in his bag. Okay, the scholars allow that in order not to cause more problems. But you give him the money back. Tayyib, for those who steal, you know, from their employer or whatever, and you're afraid that if he's come to the employer, well, I'm sorry, I've been stealing money or something, it's going to cause more problems for you. All you have to do is put the money back in your job. Get the money back flowing, you know, in the cash register, and be quiet. Whatever money you took, you give back, then you repent to Allah from this particular act. Tayyib? Tayyib. So these are the conditions of tawbah. Ar-Rahim, Allah is the most oft the one who repents and to accepts the repentance of his servants. Allah doesn't repent from a sin. Of course, you understand what I'm saying. Meaning the repent here is in terms of the those who are, Allah is accepting their repentance. Ar-Rahim bi'ibadi, the merciful to his servants. وَمِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ بِهِمْ أَنْ وَفَّقَهُمْ لِلتَّوْبَةِ وَعَفَى عَنْهُمْ وَصَفَحَ. And among his mercies that he allowed his servants to repent to him, and that Allah pardoned them and, you know, removed the consequences of their sins. طيب, I have a very crucial question. The one who knows it, mashallah. And the one who doesn't know it, mashallah. Also, there are two who disobeyed Allah. Adam and Satan. Right? How come Satan is a kafir and Adam is not?
Because
of this
too. Because
So then, according to you, Adam should be a kafir too. Because Allah told Adam, don't eat from this tree, and he disobeyed him. So he became disobedient, but he was not labeled as a kafir at no point.
No, at the time Adam realized that he did his sin, and he accepted his sins.
Uh-huh.
He realized that he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he repented. But Satan, he did not repent, he became arrogant.
Exactly.
He thought that he is higher than Adam.
Actually, the quality of disbelief is in the second thing you mentioned. The reason why Satan was a disbeliever automatically and Adam was not is because Satan accused Allah of making the wrong judgment. Allah told Adam, told Iblis, prostrate to Adam. He told Allah, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ. I am better than him. خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. You made me from fire and you made him from clay. Basically telling Allah, what are you saying? How are you asking me to prostrate to someone while I am better than him? This is kufr. This is the disbelief. Whereas Adam, when he did what he did not accuse Allah or object to the commandment of Allah when he told him, don't eat from this tree. Allah told him, he obeyed Allah. Now he fell into sin out of weakness, then he repented to Allah. Whereas Iblis, he said no. He was arrogant, as the brother mentioned, and he challenged that he will misguide and he will do this and he will do that. So this is why he's a kafir. Although both of them sinned, but Iblis was a disbeliever because of his accusation that Allah made the wrong judgment. Subhanallah, crazy man. Crazy, let me curse him right now. It's crazy, Satan. How do you dare tell Allah among the, you know, you are among the angels, a jinn who's been elevated to the level of angels in worship, you know, and Allah has given you the status. Allah commands you to do something and he accuses Allah of making the wrong decision. You understand the point? This is crazy, this is dangerous. This is not the case with Adam. So that's why Allah Azza wa Jal accepted the repentance of Adam, and he repented upon him, and he guided him, and he made him a believer, and he made him a prophet. He was a prophet. And he made among his progeny believers and prophets and messengers because of that quality of recognizing the mistake and returning back to Allah. When does it become a problem? When arrogance comes into the picture. This is why the Prophet ﷺ said, he will not enter Jannah, the person who has a grain worth of arrogance. Just a grain. If you're just arrogant, just like that, you will not enter paradise. Arrogance negates belief and humbleness. Okay? And arrogance is not looking nice. When the Prophet ﷺ said this hadith, one of the companions said, O Messenger of Allah, one of us likes to look nice, wear a nice pair of shoes. He said, Inna Allah jameelun yuhibbul jamal. Verily Allah is beautiful and he loves beauty. Arrogance is batrul haqqi wa ghamtun nas. Arrogance is rejecting the truth and belittling people. That's arrogance. When someone comes and tells you, Akhi, you know, what you're doing is haram, hey, I know what I'm doing. Don't tell me nothing. That's arrogance. Okay, when you teach someone something and they refuse it, they reject it, they don't abide by it, although it's the truth from Allah. This is arrogance. And looking down at people that a person is better than everybody else, which they go hand in hand. It's the same person as some of our brothers, you know, new Muslims who approach all Muslims, who have this particular quality. Don't teach me nothing, you're a new Muslim, I know. This is arrogance. A true believer, you learn from a baby. If a baby came and spoke to you and taught you something you were doing wrong, he says, Jazakallah khairan. May Allah reward you. And you put it into practice. But to say, no, don't tell me this and don't tell me that, this is arrogance. This is what Satan had. And this is what got him kicked out of Jannah, and he will abide in the hellfire eternally because of that very same quality. So if any one of us has a portion of it, we need to try to rid ourselves from it. Of course, we have to struggle. And Allah is merciful. Ask Allah to clear us from such qualities, which we may have and not know, which we may think we don't have, but we do have. So we need to check ourselves, and we need to remind each other, help each other, and recognize in our faults so we can correct them, inshallah. Tayyib. So, Allah Azza wa Jal commanded them to descend. The Shaykh said, كَرَّرَ الْإِحْبَاطِ لِيُرَتِّبْ عَلَيْهِ مَا ذَكَرَ. Allah repeated the fact that they will be taken down, sent down from Jannah onto the earth, in order to mention what would become, excuse me, a result of that. فَأَمَّا يَتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَى. So if any guidance comes to you from me, from Allah, أي وقت, وقت وزمان جاءكم مني يا معشر الثقلين. أي وقت وزمان جاءكم مني يا معشر الثقلين هدى. Meaning in any time, if both of you, jinn and ins, if any guidance comes to you from me, أي رسول, meaning either a messenger, وكتاب, and a book, يهديكم لما يقربكم مني, that guides you to that which will get you closer to me, ويهديكم من رضاي, and it will get you, and it will bring you closer to my pleasure, فمن تبع هدايا, whomever follows my guidance, منكم among you, بأن آمن برسلي وكتبي, that he believes in my messengers and in my books, وَاهْتَدَ بِهِمْ, and he is guided by them, وَذَلِكَ بِتَصْدِيقِ جَمِيعِ أَخْبَارِ الرُّسُلِ وَالْكُتُبِ. And this is done by believing and accepting everything that is mentioned in from the messengers and the books, which means to believe in the Qur'an and the Sunnah, because the book is the Qur'an and the Rasul is the one who brought the Sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a true believer believes in everything that was mentioned in there. وَالْإِمْتِثَالِ الْأَمْرِ, and following and fulfilling the commandments. وللاجتناب للنهي, and staying away from the prohibitions. فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. So they shall no fear be upon them, nor shall they grieve. Okay. Now there's an interesting thing here, which many people among the Muslims, they would like, and they often use their intellect instead of the Quran and the Sunnah. For example, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned a hadith that if the fly falls in the drink of one of you, okay, let him dip it in. Dip it in. Because one wing has the disease and the other wing has the cure. Some people say, the Prophet, peace be upon him, wasn't a doctor, so I'm not going to accept that. Okay, I will leave this for the people in the medical field to tell me what the, whether the fly has a, you know, a disease in the first and the cure in the second or whatever. They reject the sahih, an authentic hadith from the Prophet ﷺ, because of this, and these are not the true believers. A true believer will believe. Inshallah, everybody else in the world says otherwise, you believe. Because science continues to change. Today, as we are progressing, they continue to discover things that they thought were something, and it turned out that they're not. For how long did they think the earth was flat before they realized that the earth was round? And if anyone came to it at a time where the earth was flat and said, hey, the earth is round, they may stone it. Say, you're a liar. But now, it's the other way around. So whatever science proves, we don't make that a negation against what has been authentically attributed to the Prophet ﷺ, because the first, second is wahi, is revelation from Allah. The first is human error. You may make a mistake. Ironically, they have made some laboratory experiments, and they realized, and I've seen this with my own eyes, they got two containers of water, and they made a fly come in both, and they dipped one and the other one didn't. After a few days, this one was infected with bacteria and the other one was just still the same water. Now, if they, even if they didn't discover this, we don't care. We believe. Why? Because it's from Allah. Either in the book of Allah or authentically attributed to His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the believers. And whenever you follow this path, you will always be correct. You will always be correct. Because you are referring to the most reliable, trustworthy source. As for science, up and down, one day it's a theory, at one point, half of the people on earth maybe more believe that we came from monkeys. I mean, you cannot really depend on science. There were books and you name it, and images of skeleton and the, how you can move the... Yeah, sure. Anyways, you know, scientists sometimes have issues if they don't use it in Islamic context. If you understand Islam, and through your understanding you want to explore in the science world and prove what has been Islamically proven, then you're going to be okay. But if you want to come and make science something independent, you don't have anything consistent. One day it will change, the next day it will, you know, you don't have anything but theories until it becomes a scientific fact. Bye. In another verse Allah says, فَمَنْ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. So whomever follows my guidance, he will not go astray, neither will he be among the wretched. فَرَتَّبَ عَلَى اتِّبَاعِ هُدَاهُ أَرْبَعَةِ أَشْيَاءِ. This is very important. There are two occasions in the Quran where this particular verse was mentioned. One, the one that we mentioned, whomever follows my guidance, no, they shall not be sad, nor shall they grieve. طيب. And another occasion in the Quran, I believe it's in Surah Taha, Allah Azza wa Jal said, so whomever follows my guidance, okay, he will not go astray, neither will he be among the wretched. So two verses, both of them mentioning the condition, whomever follows my guidance, and then the result is four things now. You will not be sad, you will not grieve, okay? You will not be scared, no fear. You will not grieve, and you will not go astray, and you will not you will not be wretched. Let me say them one more time. Wretched. يعني شقاء. يعني the opposite of happiness. Sad. But sad is not really accurate. Wretched. W-R-E-T-H.
Because I thought you would not be rich. R-I-T-H.
Yeah, Hajj.
Thank you.
Rich. ايوه رتش sorry for my accent. طيب so four things يا اخوان, if we follow the guidance from Allah which is the book and the sunnah, four things are guaranteed. The sheikh will elaborate. فرتب على اتباع هذه اربعة اشياء. So Allah made the consequence or the result or the outcome of following his guidance, four things. نفى الخوف والحزن. نفي الخوف والحزن. Allah negated that this person should have any fear or grief. والفرق بينهما أن المكروه إذا كان قد مضى أحدث الحزن. Now what's the difference between fear and grief? There's a slight difference between fear and grief. The Shaykh will explain. He says the difference between them is that something that displeases you happened, okay, and it's already taken place in the past, it will cause grief. It will cause grief. Like when you remember that your relative died. Okay? Every time you remember, you grieved. Okay? By this event. Every time you remember that you lost your passport or your iqama, you become grieved. Okay, it's already happened. وَأَنْ كَانَ مُنْتَظَرًا أَحْدَثَ الْخَوْفِ. But if it's something that you are anticipating, it will cause fear. So while you have your iqama, you are afraid that you may lose it. That's the fear. And if you already lost it, then that will cause you grief. Okay? So something that happened and is in the past will cause you grief. And something that may happen in the future will cause you fear. Allah negated both. Huh? Exactly. طيب فنفاهما عمن اتبع هدى. Allah negated both from those who follow his guidance. وإذا انتفيا حصل ضدهما وهو الأمن التام. And if both of them are absent, then what will happen is the opposite of them, which is complete security. You are secure. You're not afraid that you will lose your iqama, and you will not grieve that your iqama has been lost, because both you've been protected from. So you will have total peace. You are in peace and security. وَكَذَلِكَ نَفِي الضَّلَالِ وَالشَّقَاءِ مِمَّنْ اتَّبَعَ هُدَاهُ. Likewise, Allah negated misguidance and wretchedness from those who follow His guidance. And وَإِذَا انْتَفَيَا ثَبَتَ ضِدَّهُمَا. And if both were negated, then the opposite will be established. وَهُوَ الْهُدَى وَالسَّعَادَ. And it is guidance and happiness. So if Allah promised that you will not be astray, and you will not be wretched, meaning you will be guided and you will be happy. You will be happy. فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَاهُ حَصَلَ لَهُ الْأَمْنُ وَالسَّعَادَةِ حَصَلَ لَهُ الْأَمْنَ وَالسَّعَادَةِ الدُّنْيَوِيَّةِ وَالْأُخْرَوِيَّةِ وَالْهُدَى. So whomever follows the guidance of Allah, he will have security and peace and happiness in this world and in the hereafter, and he will have guidance. وَانْتَفَعَ عَنْهُ كُلَّ مَكْرُوهٍ. And every dislike thing will also be taken away from him. مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْحَزَنِ وَالضَّلَالِ وَالشَّقَاءِ. From fear and grief, or sadness, if we another synonym for it, or misguidance and wretchedness. فَحَصَلَ لَهُ الْمَرْهُوبُ وَانْدَفَعَ عَنْهُ الْمَرْهُوبُ. So the things that are desired will happen to him, and the things that are disliked, or you know, the human likes to prevent, will be taken away from him. This is the promise of Allah for those who follow his guidance. If we follow the guidance of Allah, these four will be guaranteed. What does that mean? That means automatically that those who do not follow the guidance of Allah will have all four. That's why you see the disbeliever, sometimes if someone dies, they act foolishly and they beat themselves. and they go through a drama, and perhaps for years they continue to grieve and not accept the decree of Allah. They don't have this thing where they accept the decree of Allah. Rather, they may say something, why this happened to me? Why me? Okay, it happens all the time. Why? Because they're not following the guidance of Allah, so they will grieve. And they will always be afraid. They're always worried about the future. They're always anxious. They have anxiety. Okay? From what will happen in the future, losing their money, losing their status, losing their position, being caught if they are thieves and fornicators, and being caught. They're always afraid. And maybe you remember your jahiliyyah, when you used to do evil things. Maybe you're doing drugs, maybe you're drinking, something illegal. You're always afraid. One day they will catch you. Whether the police or your parents or your friends or your relatives, you're not really, you know, living a secure life. You're not really living a secure life. Likewise, they will not have guidance, they will be misguided. So they worship others with Allah, and they follow their desires, and what have you, and they are wretched. Two kinds of wretchedness, wal'iyadu billah. The dunya, they are wretched in this dunya, and they are wretched in the hereafter. And the one in the hereafter is much more severe than the one in dunya. In the dunya, you may have some goodness, they may get some money, they may have some fun here and there. It may not be complete wretchedness. Of course, in terms of the heart, and the enjoyment of faith and the sweetness of faith, they are ever deprived of that. So they will be wretched in this sense. But maybe physically they are able to please themselves. But in the hereafter, all will go. The pleasure of the body will turn to pain. Okay? And the pleasure of the heart, which never existed, will be multiplied. Because they will recognize that they have earned this punishment with their own hands. So then it will be the ultimate wretchedness, wal'iyadu billah, on the Day of Judgment. Fine. وَهَذَا عَكْسٌ مَنْ لَمْ يَتَبِعُ دَا فَكَفَرَ بِهِ وَكَذَّبَ بِآيَاتِهِ. This is the opposite of those who don't follow the guidance from Allah. So they disbelieve in Him, and they belie His verses and His signs. فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. Those are the companions of the fire. أي الْمُلَازِمُونَ لَهَا مُلَازَمَةِ الصَّاحِبِ صَاحِبِهِ. Why is it called, why are they called companions? The Arabic word says صاحب, أصحاب. We translate this to companions. Because you and your companion are always with each other. Huh? That's your buddy. You don't leave each other alone. So they were called the companions of the fire because they will be with the fire like buddies. The fire won't leave them alone, and they will not leave the fire alone. So they become like the companions. This is why they use ashab, the companions of the fire. The Shaykh said, meaning they are one another with each other. Like the company with his companion. Like the companion with his fellow companion. وَالْغَرِيمْ لِغَرِيمِهُمْ فِيهَا قَالِدُونَ. They will abide there eternally. لَا يَخْرُجُونَ مِنْهَا. They will never go out of it. وَلَا يَفْتُرُ عَنْهُمُ الْعَذَابُ وَلَا هُمْ يُنصَرُونَ. وَلَا يُفَتَّرُ عَنْهُمُ الْعَذَابُ وَلَا هُمْ يُنصَرُونَ. اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ أَيُّهُمَّا صَحْ. And the punishment will not be decreased, and they will never be given aid or success. وَفِي هَذِهِ الْآيَاتِ وَمَا أَشْبَهَهَا وَمَا انْقِسَامُ الْخَلْقِ مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ السَّعَادَةِ وَأَهْلِ الشَّقَاوَةِ. He said there's an indication in these verses and similar verses to it, the division of the creation from among the jinn and ins into the people of happiness and the people of wretchedness. Okay? You're either happy or sad. وَفِيهَا صِفَاتُ الْفَرِيقَيْنِ. And it also has the attributes of both groups. وَالْأَعْمَالُ الْمُوجِبَ لِذَلِكَ. And the actions or the deeds that will entail that. وَأَنَّ الْجِنْ كَالْإِنْسِ فِي الثَّوَابِ وَالْعِقَابِ. And the jinn are just like the ins in terms of being rewarded with goodness and being punished. كَمَا أَنَّهُمْ مِثْلُهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَالنَّهِي. The same way we are the same in terms of following the prohibitions and doing the obligatories. In other words, jinn and ins, okay, both will equally be rewarded or equally be punished. Both are expected to obey Allah and do the commanded and stay away from the prohibitions. The difference between the humans and the jinn is in the nature. They're made out of smokeless fire. Okay, fire that doesn't give out smoke, And we are made from teen. Okay, min salsalin, min bakar. We're made from clay through the various stages before it becomes hard. So this is the difference between the jinn and ins in a sense. But in terms of the responsibilities, they are the same. ثم شرع تعالى يذكر بني إسرائيل يذكر بني إسرائيل نعمه عليهم وإحسانه فقال. Then Allah جل وعلا continued with the verse 40 up until 43, reminding the children of Israel the favors that He has bestowed upon them. You know, the Jews, the biggest tribe from the descendants of Abraham, from his son Isaac, right? Versus Ismail. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came from the loins and the progeny of Ishmael. And all the prophets and messengers of the children of Israel came from Ishaq, Isaac. So David, Solomon, Moses, Jesus, all of them came from there. And Allah has bestowed many favors upon them. But they were indeed wicked people, except for those who believed. You know, among the Jews was some who believed in Moses, some who believed in the respective messenger, but they were few. Very often these people were known for rejecting the prophets and the messengers, killing them. And imagine, Jesus came to them with clear proof from Allah that He is the messenger of Allah. You have someone given life to the dead by the will of Allah in your presence. They're talking about He's alive. We need to crucify Him. But that's the Jews. So we will see what happened with them. Not all of them. Some of them are good. Some of them are brothers. Some of them are brothers in Iman. Not anyone today. Any Jew. After Jesus. After the advent of Jesus as the messenger of Allah. Any Jew is a disbeliever. Wicked, evil. Those who rejected Jesus and those who rejected Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam today. Any Jew that is alive is a kafir, disbeliever in Allah, going to the fire on a one-way ticket. Unless he repents to Allah. We're talking about the Jews who believed before. Because if you reject anything from Allah, you are a kafir. So those who believed in their prophet and messenger, they are brothers in faith. But we don't have any of them today. Unless they become Muslims. And when they become Muslims, they have to believe in Jesus. And they have to believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You will find that very few of them will ever do that. Because of culture and because of whatever they think they think. So anyways, inshallah ta'ala, we will continue with the next week at verse number 40 from Surah Al-Baqarah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Wa la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.